Hello, friends. Today we're going to be looking at God's Word and seeing how some of the habits and the things that affect our lives impact us. And our mothers had a sense of this from early on. Moms, internally, for many of us, were one of the great forces in our lives to begin to develop habits within us. I'm going to list for you some of the things that just popped into my head. I didn't make an exhaustive list. But some of the things that moms often encourage children to develop in their lives as key habits. Eating dinner. You know, for many moms, this is a key moment where we gather together. And it's not just about healthy food. That's important. And that's a key part of it. But it's also about the connection that happens when we eat dinner. So for a lot of moms, gathering together at the table is a really important thing. Making your bed. How many moms tell their kids to make their bed? Do your homework. Practice your instruments. How many times have we heard moms say, "Have you practiced your instrument yet?" Saying your prayers. Washing your hands. Early on, many kids have to be reminded, especially before meals, go wash your hands. Take a bath. I'm shocked at how many times kids have to be told, go get clean. Change your clothes. I used to be a camp counselor. I remember that as moms were dropping off their kids from camp, they would say two things to me. Would you please make sure, this was to my wife and I, we were both camp counselors for third and fourth graders. Would you please make sure that my child changes their underwear and brushes their teeth? And they would inevitably, some of them, share with us some kind of horror story about how last year their kids came home from camp and 75% of the underwear in their bag was clean. And we assured them that every day we would tell their kids to change their underwear and brush their teeth. Habits. They're so important in our lives. As a matter of fact, according to researchers at Duke University, and this astounded me when I discovered this, habits account for 40% of our behaviors on any given day. 40%. And some of us are creatures of habit, so it's even more than that. 40%. When you think about what you do in the course of a given day, 40% of it, or more, are generally made up of the habits that we've created to run our days. They give us structure. They give us help. And as you get older, you realize that you pick up certain things just to help you. You've been helped through your day. Some of you, like me, love that morning cup of coffee. Now, the caffeine doesn't do anything for me. I just love the taste. But some of you need a morning drug to get going, to pep your body and to get you motivated to go. James Clear, a New York Times bestselling author, wrote this about habits. What you repeatedly do, for example, what you spend your time thinking about and doing each day, ultimately forms the person you are, the things you believe, and the personality that you portray. The habits that we pick up over the course of our lives impact not only who we are, but what we believe and what the world sees about us. They shape us. As a matter of fact, the scripture testifies that habits shape our character, our personhood, and develop us into the person that not only we are, but who we will become years from now. Reverend Admiral William McRaven has famously said, "If you want to change the world, start off by making your bed." Amazing, isn't it? He's come to believe that the simple habit, this is an admiral, the simple habit of making your bed every day is the kind of foundation, the kind of grounding, the habit of doing that basic thing every day is foundational for doing something as big as changing the world. Not only completing something, but becoming a person of discipline. I have a friend at Bethany who's over 80. For most of his life and career, he would get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, depending upon the job that he had. Even now, when he could be sleeping in, after years of training his body to get up early, yeah, he's up at 4 or 5 every morning. Gets up before the coronavirus, he would go out, have coffee with friends, a bagel, share life together. Well, many of us are still sleeping, and he has the opportunity to sleep in. His body, who he is, has been trained and formed by years of practice to be up early, and that's exactly what he's still doing. God knows so much about this and teaches us about it in his word. There are so many places in scripture where God talks to us about the habits that we make and what's important to us. God encourages us to pray, to connect with him. That's what prayer is. He encourages us to read his word, to be shaped by what happens in scripture, because it informs us about who God is and who he wants us to become. He tells us to be disciplined in our giving, that it impacts our hearts. And we are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand, so don't be angry with us, Lord. Please don't remember our sins forever. Look at us, we pray, and see that we are all your people. Now, I want you to notice some interesting progressions in this particular scripture. Because God is talking about some relationships, he's talking about the environment, the habits, and how he uses these things to shape us. And he's talking about who God is and who we are. Isaiah starts out with this interesting progression of images for God. So he starts out by saying, "And yet, O Lord," being a term that refers to the holiness, the godness of God, the authority and the power that God has. When we say Lord, and we don't use that term much anymore, but in a society in which there were kings and figures of authority, near complete authority, Lord was a common word. So Isaiah is drawing upon, in the first part, this image of God as God and holy. And then he moves on and he says, "And yet, O Lord, you are our parent, our father." From Lord to father. And then he says, "We are the clay and you are the potter." He says, we have to us this substance, a clayness about us, an earthiness. And it comes, not all clay is the same. It comes with its own personality. We come that way. Early on, as parents, you have, I'm sure, seen that little children, babies, even in their infancy, their personalities are very much there. Even when they can't speak or talk, you get a glimpse of who this person's going to be, because God put into our wiring and our personhood a sense of who we are from early on, even while we're shaped by our world and our environment. And so he says, we're the clay, and yet there is going to be one who shapes us. You are the potter. And he says, we're formed by your hand. Now, this is interesting because My family and I took a pottery class some time ago in downtown Ellicott City. And if you've ever watched a potter on television, they make it look easy. They take the clay and they take this, just this lump, and quickly they'll press down in the center, and whether they're making a bowl, a cup, or a vase, they'll you can see them move it and shape it, and it's even and centered and symmetrical. And I'm just going to tell you, it isn't that easy. The difference between a novice potter and a master potter is just enormous. I had trouble just trying to make a simple cup. In my head, I had this elaborate piece I wanted to make, and I realized quickly that what was in my head and what my hands could do were two very different things. Just moving the clay to where you want it is not a simple thing. And the clay doesn't always respond the way you think or how you want or the way that you anticipate. And some clays, well, they're tough and they won't respond at all. And other clays are moldable. And so God is using that imagery of saying that we are formable and that things do form us and that He intends to bring things to our life to shape us. And habits are one of them. And Isaiah talks about this in this passage, that while God is trying to do that, we can resist that shaping or join in with it. Now, here's what's really interesting about that part. God is constantly in Scripture giving us things that shape who we become and who we are. He's telling us that these are good habits to have. These are good practices for your life. And these are things that are not good. That if you continue to practice these things, it will not produce goodness in your life or make you a better person. And so He warns us in many places to be thoughtful about all those things. Now, why am I bringing this up today? Well, I'm bringing it up because of the timing of life and what's happening to us right now. See, we're not fully 2 months into this new life that we're living. But studies have shown that new habits develop under new conditions. As a matter of fact, in the 1950s, a plastic surgeon named Maxwell Maltz, who was physically changing people by operating on their nose or helping to amputate a limb by somebody who was sick. Those kinds of changes to their body, he noticed and began tracking how people mentally adjusted to that. And he began to discover that, say, for example, when he did a nose job on someone, that in the very beginning when they looked in the mirror, they didn't recognize who they were. Now, it's interesting because there was a transition period for many of us as we went into this new environment, staying at home all the time. And we became disoriented. We weren't used to the change in patterns. We developed habits. We'd get up, we'd take a shower, we'd brush our teeth, we'd grab a cup of coffee, something to eat, we'd get in the car and we'd drive. And now suddenly, after years of doing that, we're not. And our bodies are going, what's this about? And some of us are still working through that. But he found that at a minimum, it took 21 days for a new habit to form, for the mind to begin to grasp what was happening, to begin to catch up with the world as it had changed, and begin to adjust to that. And a study was done in 2009 by the European Journal of Social Psychology. And it said that the average person takes about 66 days to form a new habit, which means we're coming up on that number. We're not there yet, but we're coming up on it. And so I thought this was a good time to pause and to ask the question, who are we becoming? You see, we're developing new habits, well, because we're forced to. Some of you would dress up like this for work every day. And now at home, well, at home, you might even be wearing a shirt and a tie, but some of you are wearing slippers because at worst, you've got to be on a Zoom call and they're never going to see your feet. Some of you are wearing dress shirts and jeans because nobody's going to see and it feels more comfortable. And our bodies are making adjustments as we form new habits and do new things. And it's causing us subtly to become new people. And I thought it was a good time to stop and think about the power of what moms and God had told us all along. How habits shape us and form us. How they change us. And to pause and ask, what habits are new that are becoming a part of our lives? What are good habits that are happening, and what are bad habits that are happening? And I suspect that both of those things are happening inside of us. As a matter of fact, I know they are. In the news recently, people have been talking about the fact that their eating habits have changed. Have yours? I mean, just being around the house, just being near the refrigerator all day can change your habit. And some people are talking about how they've gained weight already being stuck at home under the coronavirus. I know other people who have talked about the fact that their habits have changed because they now go out on their deck or in a lawn chair and sit there with a cup of coffee, taking a different pace of life, just to relax, to pray, to reflect. That's good. I've seen other people talk about the fact that their alcohol consumption has gotten way bigger, way larger. Is that good? And I want us to think, to pause, and to think, how has this time subtly or dramatically affected the habits in your life? And what's the eventual effect of those habits? What are you going to try and keep? What are you going to intentionally have to break as habits? And how are those habits shaping you even now? How are they making subtle changes to who you are and who you're becoming that in the long term will impact you even more deeply? And so as we come to this Mother's Day, I want to remind you of what your mom knew all along, the power of habits, that God can use them to shape who you are, that we can resist God in the habits that God wants to bring to our lives, or we can participate with Him, that God knew the wisdom of the impact that these habits would have on our lives, and that we probably need to take this moment to pause before they fully manifest themselves in our lives, before they fully embed themselves and say, what habits are beginning to take root in me? What's good and what do I need to change? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your loving care for us. We want to thank you for how you know us, how you are the potter and we are the clay, how you intend to shape us and to mold us, and who you want us to become. Help us to participate with you in that process and not to resist you. Help us to be thoughtful about how our lives are being impacted right now, even as the environment around us has required it of us. May we pause and ask how this is affecting us in both good ways and negative ways, and respond to that as you would have us do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day. We're so glad that you're with us this morning. This morning we want to take some time to celebrate our mothers and our grandmothers and the women who poured into our lives as mothers and grandmothers. So what we're going to do is we're going to light some candles this morning in honor of our living mothers and grandmothers and in memory of our grandmothers and mothers and others who have passed on. So we're going to do that this morning, and we hope that you'll join with us in this.
We light this candle in celebration of our mom.
I light this candle in celebration of my grandma.
I light this candle in celebration of my Nana Terry. And now as we do this silently, we invite you to do it at your homes as well.
God, we thank you so much for Mother's Day. We thank you for the women, the mothers, the grandmothers who have poured into us over our lives. We ask that as we remember them, you would be with us. And as we honor them, that you would be with them. Lord, we ask that you would be with families who can't be together right now. We ask that you would keep them safe. Lord, we ask that you would help us to honor and bless our mothers and our grandmothers and the women who poured into our lives. We thank you for them. Amen.
This is Kay Weeks, and I'm here to celebrate my mother, Lucille Scott Davidson, born in 1899 and passed in 1980. She was the kindest woman. She loved penguins, the ocean, my father, my brother and me, and I miss her every day.
One of the things I love most about my mom is that she taught me that it's never too late to start learning something new, to start having a new passion, or to be adventurous. So this year, Mom, we're conquering the paddleboard, right?
Hey, Bethany, it's the Blackman family.
I love my mom for her caring personality.
I love her for her patience and her determination.
We are blessed to have you. Happy Mother's Day!
Mother's Day.